Now, how does God say so? How does God speak? What does He sound like to you? It doesn't matter what He sounds like to me. What does God sound like to you? Well, we can take Jesus' life and we can look at the way that Jesus heard the voice of God. He heard it in time alone with God so He could act on it when He was ministering in the name of God. We have to commit ourselves to get the Word of God in us. Because when this Word is in us, God can use this Word to speak to us in a given situation. I'm going to tell you a story about my life on how this played out. In the mid-90s, Cindy and I were attending a church called Calvary Chapel on San Pablo. It was an Episcopal church. Our rector, his wife, was in the arts community, and she went and worked on The Giver of Life with Vanita. And Claudia Haig was her name, and she came to Cindy and I and said, "Hey, they're having cast call for Giver of Life. I'm involved in The Giver of Life, and I'd like you and Cindy to audition." So Cindy and I talked about it, and yes, we auditioned. And that is the first time that I met Vanita Goodman, because she was the director. And we got involved in The Giver of Life. Really, 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 really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed it. At the same time, the next year, things happened. We'll just cone of silence, things happened. And we got a new priest at Calvary. Well, we went 9 months musical priest, where we never knew who was going to be in the pulpit on Sunday. We called it musical priest, because the cathedral kept sending us a priest while we were in flux. And finally they called this man from Virginia Beach. His name was George Stockhow. Now, some of you have been around for a long time, especially some of you who have an Episcopalian background. You might recognize that name, because him and another gentleman were actually on the front edge of the movement of bringing the Holy Spirit into the Episcopal Church back in 1969. Really, really an incredible story, journey. Well, George came in and he just brought peace to Calvary. We were turmoiled. He was a grandpa. He was a grandfatherly figure. So, he led us through the study from Henry Blackaby called Experiencing God. Has anybody here ever gone through that series? It's an incredible series. It helps you understand how to hear, how to experience God. Well, in fact, I still have the books at home and I refer to them every now and then. But there's one chapter in there that just challenged me and continues to challenge me to this day. Now, again, this has been 15 years ago. But he said this. He goes, "The biggest mistake the Church of Christ makes today is we go out and do things in His name and asking Him to bless them rather than finding out what He's doing and go join Him." Wow. How many times have I done that in my life? With all good intentions, with the best heart in the world, go out and do something, get so far out on the limb, asking God, "Oh God, help! Help me, please, God, help me. I'm way out on this limb." Sometimes I wonder if God doesn't look down at me and said, "Well, how'd you get out there, boy? I never told you to be there." It was a simple process that I mess up every day. It is. It's a simple process rather than doing things and asking God to bless them, ask God what He's doing and go do it with Him. How did this apply in my life? Well, through the turmoil that we went through in this church, Cindy and I wanted to leave. We wanted to leave. We wanted to get out of that church. God said no. And we knew He was saying no. We couldn't get a peace about it. We knew we couldn't go. And then this guy, George Stockhow, came. And he brought peace and community back to us. And things were really moving. And they were looking really good. And then Cindy and I decided, well, wow, that's why we stayed. God wants us to show us the other side of this. And now we're happy. And now we're active again. And things are happening. We were leading groups and praise and worship. And the church started growing again. And now we're happy. And I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning one morning and heard that little still voice. Now it's time to go. What? What? I remember waiting early in the morning having coffee with Cindy saying, honey. She said, what? You're kidding me. We have begged and begged and begged to leave. I said, well, I'm just telling you what I heard, honey. Let's pray about it. At the same time, through the relationship that we had with Vanita would on occasion call Cindy and I to sing with her on a Saturday night service. Yeah, I don't know if y'all remember that. We'd come in and we were guest worship leaders. And, you know, it seems like so long ago, but that's how it was, okay? And I remember thinking the services were great. The worship was awesome. And that's what I was there for. Besides that, because I had held Vanita in such high regard, if she needed something, I would do it, just because. See, Vanita, I figured out, God was doing something, and I just wanted to be around it so I could get blessed. Well, one night we were there on a Saturday night, and Bishop Howard was doing a teaching on sacramental worship. And it was incredible. It was about the presence of God in the Eucharist. It just blew me away. Just absolutely blew me away. Services were very powerful. It was one of those times where people were actually falling out taking communion. It was one of those services. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. And so it was in that time that God said, this is what I'm doing. That's cool. He goes, come with me. That's how we ended up at Church of Messiah. Because God said, through that Bible study, find out what I'm doing, come do it with me, and I'll bless you. God said, listen for my voice. And the things that you do, I didn't have that in me, okay? And so Cindy and I prayed about it. The Lord said the same thing to her. I went to George Stockhow, who, I know I'm not calling him Father George, but he never asked to be called that way. It's not disrespectful. He was a priest, but that's just how he had us call him, was George. I went to him. I shared the story. And he just looked at me with tears running down his eyes. And he said, Scott, that's God. You got to go. What? See, it was God. You got to go. That set a whole order in my life that puts me before you today with a collar on. Because God said. I wish I could bottle that. I wish I could have it on hard disk so I could remember what he sounded like at that exact moment, because it was a home run for me. Now, Scott, how can you say that 14 years later? How can you say that with all we've been through? Because I can stand up here today and tell you I went through what we went through because God said. That's why. He didn't change what he told me to do. So I'm still here. I'm still standing, doing what he told me to do. Just like if you go back into Hebrews chapter 11, we as the church, we like to call that the Great Hall of Faith. I double dog dare you. Read that Great Hall of Faith. They all had one thing in common. God said. That's how they ended up in the Hall of Faith. Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Jacob, Ezekiel, all of them, because God said. They held on to the Word of God. The biggest heroes in that are the ones that never received the promise but were martyred for the faith, and yet they died hanging on. I think something tells me they got a reward. They really saw the promise of God fulfilled. But if you read that entire chapter 11, it's because they heard God. God spoke to them, and they hung on to the voice of God and called forth, activated, if you will, their faith. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. If you profess to be a Christian, if you profess that Jesus lives in your heart, he is always speaking to you. Because he is your shepherd. He is your good shepherd. And by saying you're a Christian, you're saying you're a sheep of his flock. And he says you will know his voice. I know how God speaks to me. A lot of times through worship. When I'm singing. How does that happen? I don't know. It's not really a quiet time. He does speak to me in quiet time. But I believe I hear God's voice clearer in worship because A, I'm a worshiper. B, I'm closer to God in my life when I'm worshiping. And C, all the distractions of this life, I'm able to set aside. And I have a clearer channel to hear. He does speak to me in the middle of the night. He does speak to me in quiet. I'm just telling you, in my life, he speaks to me more through praise and worship. And I know worshipers out there, you understand what I'm saying. We're just closer to God in worship. So I really can't define how God speaks to you. But I can give you a couple of guidelines. A couple of guidelines to go by. Do you want to know what God's voice sounds like to you? Some days our mind gets so cluttered with so many voices, we can't figure out what's what. Is that you? Is that me? Is that him? Is that them? Is that old tapes, new tapes? Is that guilt? Is that unforget? What is it? Maybe just start doing this, and it'll get just a little clearer. Decide which voices aren't God. That's really easier. Are you looking at something, and you're scared? You're in fear? That's not God. If you're hearing a voice that's a fearful voice, that's not God. Why, I can say that securely. God says, "I've not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind." If the motivation of what you're hearing is embedded in fear, 99.9%, that ain't God. Is it in judgment over a circumstance or a situation? a judgment over somebody else's life, I don't think that's God. Only God can judge a heart. Is it out of anger? Is it out of unforgiveness? I don't think that's the way God's going to speak to us. Do you see what I'm saying? If you start trying to hold up the voices that you hear, hold them up to the Word of God, you can easily get rid of it, half of them, if not even more. Because they're not God. And then you can get a clearer understanding of what is God. You remember the story of Ezekiel? I'm sorry, Elijah. Elijah went to the mountaintop, and the winds blew almost like a hurricane or a tornado. And he was listening. God wasn't there. The earth shook. There was a great earthquake, rumbling. The whole world was shaking. God, that's you. Nothing. Then there was a tremendous fire, and the fire was crackling. It was hot, and it was just consuming everything around. Oh, God. No, that's not you either. And then everything got quiet. And Elijah heard God in a still, small voice. Are you waiting for God to hit you with a bolt of lightning? It's me! Boom! You know, wake you up in the middle of the night, slap you upside the head, that's me! Or do you just quiet yourself? God, what are you saying? God, what are you doing? God, what am I to do? I started off this message talking about my men's prayer group. I'm going to boast on them one more time in closing. Recently, I struggled with something that I was really having a difficult time discerning if it was God or not. And in this particular area, I knew that my action was motivated properly. I didn't have any question about that. And I knew it would be a good thing, but I was really juggling the fine line of, now hear me on this, it's going to sound a little weird, but this is where I was. I have 3 sons, so I have a father's heart. I wear a collar, so I have a father's heart. 2 different levels. Okay? I have a Father in heaven who lives in me, therefore I have a father's heart. There's the whole other level. I was having a hard time discerning whether it was my earthly father's heart, was it my ministry father's heart, or was it God speaking his heart. I struggled. I talked to Cindy about it. I shared it with her. I was still unsettled. She's got a mama's heart. I was still unsettled. So I brought it to these guys. And we put down the cone of silence. I spoke about the issue. I spoke about what it was. They offered me some tremendous direction. We opened up the Word that day and read a psalm that 3 verses in spoke exactly to the issue. Exactly to the issue. I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Using some of the same words that I used when I was telling them how I was feeling. I mean, big words. Words that I normally don't use. Words that I'm not used to seeing in Scripture. And Don and I, and John, I'm sure, we all had tears in our eyes. I mean, it was a God moment. I clearly heard God. It was a process to get there. But I clearly heard God. when I brought it to the counsel of others. Trusted men that I trust. Do you see? If you get to that place where you've done everything, you've prayed everything, and you're still, you really, God, I know this is you, but is it really this? You can always go to a trusted spiritual counsel. And in the counsel of many is wisdom. God, see, I would not have had the same impact if God would have led me to that scripture myself. I could have just found it. But he did it in front of witnesses. We got done reading that psalm. John, who doesn't bring his Bible, but he has it on his iPhone. He says, well, if this was a book, it's closed. God said it, you're doing it. Bam. I mean, it was that matter of fact, wasn't it, John? Powerful time. That is how God speaks to me. I trust that somehow, somewhere in this message was something for you that challenged you to try and hear the voice of God just a little clearer, just a little louder, understanding that he's always speaking to us. And quit wasting your time on doing things and asking God to bless them. Find out what God's doing right now and go join him and watch what he does. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.